last time you heard from us.
Okay, so Class B, a dark horse for Class D.
But every kid on that team, if they continue to work hard, will have the opportunity to play Division I basketball. And so to be able to balance that roster and to be able to keep kids happy, and we had some late additions who are just outstanding people and outstanding players. We're comfortable with our entire roster. We've got some special young ladies that have joined the program. We've got some young ladies that have reached out in anticipation of attempting to join. We've got just a slew of kids on the roster. We've got one young lady who... She's played up with us last year, Kiara Crockett, who just a remarkable young lady, just in terms of her demeanor and her spirit, her work ethic. And so I'm excited for her. She played up with Jaleesha's team this year and had to, you know, sit behind some players. And, you know, she's just a remarkable kid. She'll be at North Farmington this year.
I'm going to Westland, Michigan, and Wayne Memorial. I'm going to go with Camry Clegg. And I know that people are like, oh, you got two point guards. Listen, the kid is a great point guard, but she can score. I think it's going to be a huge season for her. I think maybe after the third game, she's probably, it's not a lot of scenarios where she doesn't get double teamed.
I'm going to go with Kaylee Wasso, man. I know I just said I don't want to be obvious, but, and then Kaylee Wasso is kind of obvious, but what she brings to the table is sort of overlooked, in my opinion. But aside from that, I just think she's going to have an even better year. She's already looked at as one of the top recruits in a loaded 2017 class. You know, I think she's going to have one heck of a year. I think she's just going to prove that point even more. Playing for Midland now.
Anybody who will want to wake up that sleeping giant, God bless. I wouldn't even think about heckling her, because I've seen things get ugly for people. Yo, we live. Myself and Eric Thomas, we here with the Last Second Shot podcast. How y'all doing out there? Eric,
hey bro, we ain't canceled yet. They ain't canceled yet, right?
They ain't got us off the airwaves yet, man. Hey, it's a beautiful Wednesday night. It's rainy outside, but breath in my lungs, so it's beautiful.
Oh, it's
how
a
you
blessing
feeling
to be
today,
here,
Eric?
Dog. Hey, it's a blessing to be here, dog. Blessing to
yes,
be
sir.
Here once again, man.
Yes, sir. Hey, man, we got a loaded show today. We got one of the best players in the 2017 class. She's going to be joining us just in a few moments here. And then we have the legendary Coach Michelle Jackson from the Southfield Lathrop, Southfield High School. Yes, sir. Hey, so just real quick before we get Nia on, I think we already have her on the line. She was waiting promptly at 7:30. So before we get her on the line, something interesting just to talk about for a moment. Match Preps released their Fab Five for Michigan. So if you're listening right now and you haven't seen it, the five consists of, at number five, DeWitt High School, number four in the Shocker, that's Southfield Lathrop, number three, that's Flushing, number two, the state champions, Detroit Country Day, and number one, the defending state champions, Marion. So in a later show, we're going to probably do our top 10 teams. But let's just give the folks a teaser. Just name five teams right now who you think is in the top of the state. No particular order.
You got to put me on the spot. This early, dog?
Yeah.
Okay. No particular order. I mean, obviously Detroit Country Day. You know, they returned, you know, most of their core from their championship season last year. And you can only think, you know, young kids like that are only going to get better. So, you know, you have to put them in there.
Southfield Lathrop, you know, you returned four D1 players who all got better.
All right, we're going to go in depth about it in the actual show.
Saginaw Heritage.
Okay.
Saginaw Heritage. This is where it gets tough. I know you probably have a curveball in yours. I'm gonna get mine off first. I'm gonna go Wayne Memorial, dog.
Okay.
Some people may light me up for this. Some people really may light me up for this. But I'm doing it. I'm doing it. It's not too many other talented teams.
I mean, we'll talk about it eventually.
You know, some people gonna light me up for it, but you know, whatever. And five. Five. Oh my God. I might have to go with. This is tough. I might have to go with Miller Dow.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so my five. Before we get Neo on, I'll give my five. Southfield Lathrop High School. Country Day. Saginaw Heritage. Grand Rapids Catholic Central. In number five, I just think it's going to be a breakout year for them. Hint what we're going to talk about later in the show. Warren Cousineau.
Ooh, good one.
Yes, sir. So we're going to go ahead and go to the lines. I see that we do. It looks like we do have Nia on the line. Eric, give us a preview of Nia. In short.
Okay. You know, Nia is obviously one of the top point guards in the state, and definitely one of the top point guards in the loaded 2017 class. You know, I like to call her ones and twos because, you know, if you guard her, you're going to get put in that mix, man. She has a bevy of moves she can throw at you. So, you know, I'm really excited to have this girl on.
Okay. And going to the line right now, I believe this is Nia on the line. Nia, what's up?
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
Man, we're great. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, now, Nia, just jumping right into our interview. Now, recently, we saw reports online that, the recruiting is picking back up after you reopened it. Do you have any favorites right now, or are you just focusing on the season? What's up?
I'm just taking it day by day. I'm just trying to focus on the season right now. Nothing. No top schools right now. Just searching and looking at everything.
That's what's up.
Okay, well, like, what are you anticipating, you know, most this season? What's the thing you want most?
Well, we just have to work hard and work together. Last year, I mean, we lost four seniors, and they were much of our score. So this year we're going to have to play team basketball and not just focus on, like, the top scorer. Everyone has to contribute this year. This should be
I got a follow-up to that. So where they being changing, you know, when you talk about playing a different style of basketball, does your game – change any with that?
I just have to step up in a leadership role more than I was last year. Being the point guard, I have to be a leader, but I had seniors around me that still could, like, help me out. But I do have one of my backcourt members, Kendall McConico, helping me out. But we just have to step up and lead the team more than we did last year.
Hey, it's so interesting that you talk about playing team basketball and how things are going to change. Obviously, you lost Rosal to Oakland University and Lola Rostovsky to UAD. Mm-hmm. Do you think this makes you all more of a defensive team now, or?
We always focus on defense. You know, our coach focuses on defense more than offense. So, I mean, nothing's going to change. We're still going to pressure you and still going to get up in you. So, I mean, we've always been a defensive team.
Okay, you went to the Breslin your freshman year, you know. What type of work have you done, you know, with the players who weren't on that particular team to show them what it takes to get back down to East Lansing?
Actually, we have – most of our team went to the Breslin. We just have to keep the same focus and we have to keep our heads up. We can't let anything get us down because this year we're a smaller team. So we still have to pressure and, you know, just keep our focus.
I mean, and it's so, I mean, like, you all run to the Breslin your freshman year, and I guess I kind of feel old because I can say I've seen you play at Bates Academy. I think you were in the seventh grade, so, you know, that makes me feel way older than I am. But I don't know. It was something about you leading that team that was on the Breslin, you know, that went to the Breslin. You were at point guard. You know, I guess that's how a lot of people gain their idea of you. You have, like, kind of a reputation of being a solid, smart point guard. You know, you defend well and make all of the passes. And then all of a sudden, you know, me and Eric come to a Roper versus Liggett game and we see crossovers galore and people sliding on the court and falling. Like, how do you blend all of that so well? And who or what do you attribute to the nice blend in your game?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of work. But I have to thank my dad and Jarvis for helped me and develop my game and getting me where I am today. I mean, I wouldn't be where I am without both of them. So I owe a lot to them.
And when you say Jarvis, you obviously we know you're talking about Jarvis Mitchell, who's the coach over at Wayne Memorial, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I mean, so I mean, let us know. Like we heard you mention Kendall. What players did we not get to see a lot of last year? Who do you think, you know, like you think they're going to have a good year or like you're anticipating like, hey, it's going to be fun. Like, it's going to be fun watching so-and-so. Like, if we just showed up to a game besides you or Kendall, like, who do you think we would have fun watching?
I mean, anybody on our team, you're going to see something that you won't see anywhere else. But because we play so much different than everybody. But this year, I think Jasmine Dickens, the class of 2017, is going to have a good year, breakout year. And our seniors, Anna Majeski and Madison Jerome, you saw a little bit of her last year, her shine during the Robichaud game. But I think anybody on our team is going to contribute and show something a little different.
Okay, you said you have going back to the previous answer, yes, you had a smaller team. You know, so that consists of more of a dribble drive offense, you know, more creating for you and Kendall?
Well, our offense, we want everyone to get touches. It's not just solely focused on two people. Everyone has a chance to score. Everyone has a chance to get their shot off. So it's not just focused on me or Kendall. It's just everyone is able to contribute in some way.
All right. Well, Nia, thank you so much for coming on the show. Like I said, it's great having you. I love watching you. I'm sure you know Eric loves watching you as well. We're going to be at a few Liggett games this year, too. All right?
All right. Thank you.
No
problem.
All right.
Peace,
have a great
lady.
One.
All right. You too.
Okay, that was Nia Ahart on the Last Second Shot podcast with us. Man, such a mature young lady. Like she just knows, you know. Like just talking to her in that brief period of time, you understand she has a good grasp of things. You know, we threw a couple questions out there. Just, you know, you can tell she's real team oriented. And that's why I think Liggett is going to be a great team to watch this year. They were a great team last year and ran into the Arbor Prep team, which, it, you know, the Arbor Prep team was good as well. So that brings us into our segment before we get Coach Jackson on the line as well. Eric, who do you think is going to be the surprise team? Which you kind of gave yours away a little.
Oh, I definitely gave mine away. But another surprise team, Detroit Renaissance. You know, I think they're gonna have a better year than the last couple years that they had. You know, they weren't horrible, far from it, but I think they're gonna be even better than they, you know, were last year. I think people kind of looked at them as, you know, kind of a middle of the pack type team. I think they're going to assert themselves a little bit more this year. You know, obviously, Saya, you know, being their leader and their best player. I think Coach K, you know, gets those guys to a higher level this season.
Okay. My surprise team. I sort of gave mine away in our top five teams as well, but I think a surprise team this year is going to be Cass Technical High School. And a lot of people are like, but they play for the championship every year. Listen, you don't lose what they lose in the senior class and just come back with a new coach and everything is dandy. It still takes work. Yeah, I think they're going to surprise a lot of people with how competitive they are with the King and Renaissance team in the PSL. Listen, I'm a total believer in Coach Tate. I think she's going to do a phenomenal job. But those two post players, I think, is going to be a lot of trouble for teams who can't match up against one post player versus, you know, having two of them down low. So that's something I'm definitely looking forward to. As far as a surprise team.
I would need some, all Cavs need somebody to get the ball across half court, you know, with the two big bodies they got down low. That's all you need. I think Coach Tate is definitely capable of getting somebody like that.
Definitely. Now, and it's always so interesting because we talk about these surprise teams early on, and then you run into a Salem team who starts the season 0-4, or they lose, you know, a lot of early games, and then they go on this magical run, and for a second it looks like they're gonna win the whole thing.
I mean, yeah,
you know.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah.
And
I mean,
so,
the Petrie sisters made a name for themselves last year.
Yeah, and so it's like we can do all of this talking about who's going to surprise you, but is it really a surprise if we're predicting them to surprise us?
Ooh, good one. Drop a jewel on them.
I mean, it's like I was so caught off guard by Flat Rock last year. You know, and it's crazy because we saw them play Liggett last year to start the season, and that started with a loss. And then they go the furthest they've ever been in a state tournament ever. I mean, a game away from the Breslin. So it's – I don't know. It's like us discussing these surprise teams is almost like we're just discussing a underrated team. And the real surprise team will be discussed in the middle of the season.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it will, you know, it all comes down to when that ball is tipped up and everybody gets to running. So what you said is very valid, very, very valid.
Yes, sir. Now, if you're listening right now, this is the Last Second Shot podcast. We're in the middle of our show right now. You know, in the next 5 minutes or so, we're going to have Coach Jackson on. That's going to be a great interview. Also, you can hit us up on Twitter with questions if you have them. I am Sports Spoken Real at Twitter.
And I'm at QuietStorm_30 on Twitter.
Quiet_Storm30. God, I got to do all of his work, huh?
oh, you going to try to – okay. I messed up. You right. No, you got that one.
But, yeah, so – So it's so crazy. So if you're just now tuning in again, Mass Preps released their Fab Five teams in Michigan. And I'm just going to recap it again. That's DeWitt at number five. Southfield Lathrop, a little too low for me, at number four. Flushing at number three. Detroit Country Day at number two. And Marion, the defending two-time defending state champions, at number one. So we gave our five. We gave our five, and what I'm wondering is, Eric.
Okay.
You have a team that hasn't won a game in 2 years in your top five. That would presumably be in your top five.
I mean, when you look at what they get, you know, you get who I feel, and I might set everybody off again, but who I feel is the second best point guard in the state, and Kenry Clegg on their team. You don't get a general like that and not improve. And then the freshman, Janae Terry, is just absolutely, like, just nasty with hers. And then you get the do-it-all forward in Amara Chigwe, who's long, animated, athletic, and can put the ball in the bucket from anywhere. So, you know, with those three, and then with the supporting cast, it has improved as well. So, you know, those three plus an improved supporting cast.
Well, hey, I mean, an all-conference guard is a great supporting cast, somebody who went all-conference last year in spite of, you know, a winless season. So, I mean, I'm leveling with you. I guess I'm just intrigued.
Hey, look, I said it was a little monkey wrench being thrown in there.
Yeah,
I know. I know a lot of people, you know, wasn't expecting me or you or anyone for that matter to say that, but I'm here saying it now, and I'm gonna stick by it.
Okay. I'm going to say this much. I expect Wayne Memorial to win the KLAA this year. So I guess they could be my surprise team as well. But what I will say is Northville, even though they lost Mariah Modkins, might have something to say about who wins the KLAA. I wrote a story last year. I went to their very first game, expecting to see the Mariah Modkins show. And if you don't know who Mariah Modkins is, she was a freshman point guard last year. This year she's a sophomore, since has transferred to Cleveland Solon. Will be playing with talented players like Valencia Myers and Alexis Stover down in Cleveland. But I was expecting to see a Mariah Modkins show. And then Emily Marish, she happens. Now, a lot of people don't know about her, and that's fine. But listen, she's a guard. She'll probably move to point guard this year. She was more of an off guard. But when I tell you she's a shooter, I'm not going to make any outlandish comparison to a college player or a pro player. But this girl can fill up the ball, like the basket, and she can do it quickly. So I guess if we're still putting our bids in for the surprise teams of the year or a breakout team that we should expect, I would look out for Northville.
Interesting. I saw them, you know, once last year, so I didn't get a chance to see much of them. So you put me, you know, not just, you know, everybody listening, but you put me on the Northville, man. I'm going to have to check them out.
Hey, I mean, and that's the beauty of this podcast, I guess you could say. I guess we're not necessarily focused, like, because everybody knows about the best, like, you know, I won't say the best, but everybody knows about the players who are being recruited or like have that buzz. Like, everybody knows that when you talk about the state's best, you have to mention you have to mention Destiny Pitts, Deja Church, Jaleesha Terry, Kaiser Gondrezic, you know, just to name a few. You know, you have to mention those folks. But the beauty about this is there's so much talent in the state of Michigan. There's so much talent in, you know, in this region. I mean, like I said, you've seen people transfer out that, as I said, like we just alluded to, there can be an all-conference performer on a winless team.
Yeah.
That says something.
Yeah, and this state is more loaded than what people think. You know, we don't get the attention that California might get or New York, but I would put our girls up against theirs any day, period. This state has a lot of talent.
I feel like, and again, this is the last second podcast. In about 10 or so minutes, we're going to have Coach Jackson on the line. But I feel like the idea that we don't have talent in Michigan is insane. But I feel like it's partially a wound that is directly from the MHSAA. It's a real hindrance here in Michigan. It's a real hindrance here in Michigan. You don't see talented players like ours just playing in one state all year. You never see
that.
No,
you don't.
So when we bring in a Kiera Lewis, you know, in the Whitney Young team, and they're ranked top 10 in the nation by a lot of services, by ESPN, by Mets Prep, and our best team goes toe-to-toe with them and really loses off of a missed last-second shot, you know that we can compete.
Most definitely.
Like,
and it's a – yeah, most definitely. And it's a kind of a – it does a disservice to these girls to not be able to play, you know, in those big, you know, tournaments in other states like Title IX. You know, I think last year was in Phoenix, I want to say, or the Nike Tournament of Champions, stuff like that, you know, events like that that would get us, you know, get us state attention, you know, and we miss out on it. We miss out on a lot, and we miss out on certain schools, too. It cuts down on that a lot because you have to wait until the AAU season really to see our kids.
I think we talked about this last week for a short second. I believe that in the 2017 class, there should be at least five girls in the ESPN Super 60 right now. That's my honest belief. And a lot of people say, "Hey, you have a warped view." No, you can't tell me there's a girl in the state of Michigan with third. What is it? I think it's 20 plus offers.
Like almost 30, if not 30.
Okay, almost 30 offers, and she's not. I mean, wrecked the whole summer. Like the buzz is crazy, and like we're looked over, and that's partially because we're not seen. You know, like we're not seen because the MHSAA keeps us in a box. Like. I think Grosse Pointe went to Whitney Young last year. Grosse Pointe South. They went to Whitney Young last year. That's about as far as you're going to see a team in Michigan go. And it's sad. I think it's a real disservice.
It's very sad. And it's very sad that every other, you know, it seems like every other state, you know, can go anywhere and play each other, and you know you see a modern day, you know, play a Whitney Young, and that, you know, modern day is usually top three, and Whitney Young, like you just said, is, you know, been top 10. So you know that's why they're ranked so high, because they're playing each other and they're always ranked, and you know we're barely scraping in. And, you know, we might see top 40 on ESPN or, you know, we might see a 25, but we won't get up there with those other teams because we can't play them. And other media outlets, national media outlets, can't see us as much. And I think that's almost a crime.
Seeing Marion go through last year as a top 25 team was it was special to me because I've been following girls basketball and reporting on it for quite some time. Westland John Glenn and Detroit Country Day are two teams that come to mind as far as teams that have been ranked nationally before. Now, Detroit Country Day has a legacy. So they are always going to be checked for when they have state championship winning teams. And that's great because that moves the state a little forward. But imagine if this Country Day team or really if any Country Day team of the past, I mean, because they've had some loaded teams, could go to, I don't know, a New York or a Florida showcase event.
They have the opportunity to do it.
What do you think their legacy would be then? I mean, like I said, Detroit Country Day is one of the most storied girls basketball programs or really athletic programs in the state of Michigan. They don't get the chances that they should. Southfield Lathrop right now, them up against many teams in this nation. It's probably a few that could beat them, but there's a lot that would lose. The country won't know.
I second that.
the most the country will know about the Southfield Lathrop team outside of Michigan or the surrounding states or the coaches that recruit at Southfield Lathrop is what we're telling them right now.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't have to come from us or the other, you know, or writers in this state to get the word out about a team like a Country Day, like a Southfield Lathrop. It shouldn't have to be like that at all. You know, other people should come and see what, you know, those two teams have and teams that are up there in that caliber in the state like those two. And it's, like I said, it's almost a crime that, you know, these kids' talents doesn't get shown off as much as everybody else.
I also want to make it clear that the rule has never been explained to me as far as not being able to travel out of state. It's never been able to be explained, and it's kind of confusing.
Very.
It's kind of confusing. So I would have to say that if you're a parent listening or, you know, a concerned spectator, you all should say something to the MHSAA. Tweet them, write them, email them, do something. Because, you know, your daughter might be graduating soon. Your daughter might have offers. You might have grandkids who have to go through this. You might have another kid who has to go through this a little later on. Or you might just actually care, you know, enough to say, hey, we know how hard it is, you know, for our daughters to get noticed. Hey, let me just write this right now. I mean, obviously it's probably too late to change anything for this season, but something has to change if the MHSAA really cares about their athletes reaching their full potential and getting all the opportunities that they can.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I mean, people, like Darren just said, if y'all really care about this and want, you know, these kids to get just as many opportunities as these other girls in the country get, tweet them, email, send letters, call if you can, You know, they had Twitter accounts, tweet them, Facebook accounts, email, you know, inbox them on Facebook, everything. Because this really needs to stop. It needs to stop soon. Sooner than later.
Indeed. This is the Last Second Shot podcast. As I said, we do have a legend coming on the podcast. And I know a lot of people right now, they know I graduated from Southfield Lathrop. And so I consider myself a bit of a Lathrop historian. But you can't think about Southfield Lathrop sports without, one, thinking about Coach Jackson of the Southfield Lathrop women's high school basketball. Like, she's a quintessential leader. Like, I just seeing her from afar, I think the most of her, as I said, like, got there in 2008, saw her take, like, a guard-driven team far to the quarterfinals. Then I've seen her take a different type of team far in the playoffs. And so this is why you hear me say Coach Jackson is one of the best coaches, and I'm so glad she decided to come on the podcast with us. And we're bringing her on the line right now. Coach Jackson, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great.
What's up, Coach?
How you doing, Eric?
Oh, you know I'm doing great. Have you on?
It's my pleasure. I appreciate you guys inviting me on.
Okay, we're going to hop right into it. You know, how do you feel about this, you know, this upcoming season? I know you think this is a special team. So, you know, I got two questions for you, really. How do you feel about this upcoming season, and where would you rank this particular team among the great teams that you had over the years?
Well, over at Lathrop, we're really excited about the team that we have this year. We have some really good girls and, you know, very good kids who are very blessed to be very good basketball players. And so, you know, we returned some talent from last year, and we're really excited about being able to, you know, get some pretty special things done this year. And in terms of where I rank this group of kids, you know, I've been, you know, really lucky to have a lot of good players come through down the line through Southfield Lathrop. And, you know, we've had some good teams, and, you know, we've had some guard-driven teams. We've had some teams that have been powerhouses in the post. Obviously, probably the most special team was the team that won the state championship. You know, it's a, you know, sometimes once-in-a-lifetime experience. And so that team that won the state championship clearly has to go to the top of the list because they gave the city of Southfield something that, you know, no other team has been able to do. But as I was speaking with a reporter earlier today, you know, the kids in this group reminded me of that group in so many ways. That group didn't win it the first year. They had to learn and grow and mature with each year. So each year in the state tournament, they went further and further. And it was when they were seniors and they were mature and understood, you know, all the things that go into, you know, getting to a state championship, not just the talent, but the work ethic, the commitment, the camaraderie and all of that. They were able to get it in their senior year. And while this group, my heavy hitters, so to speak, are not all seniors, they've been together for almost as long as that group was. And so, you know, that group was, you know, goes to the top of the list. But, you know, this group, you know, holds a special place in my heart. And I think they're right up there with that group. The only thing that separates the two right now is not winning the state championship. But that's a goal that we have this year. So we're going to give it our best shot.
All right, now, Coach, this team has four surefire Division I players on the team right now, like that we know of that have Division I offers. Is this the most that you ever had on one team, most Division I players you've had on one team?
This is the most D1 players that we've had on one team. The state championship team had five kids who graduated and went to play college ball. Two of them, though, went to D2 schools. So this is the first time where we have four, you know, D1 kids on the team. And so, you know, it makes it pretty special in terms of having that level of talent. And I think that's what, you know, just kind of makes them, you know, a group of kids that a lot of people are looking to expect some good things from. But it's the most I've had on one team at one time.
Okay, it's kind of a, you know, a storybook you know, ending to have such a great, talented team for Lakers last year. So what do you think, you know, the legacy of Hoop Squad will be when, you know, the school is, you know, finally closed and not called South of the Lakers anymore?
Well, you know what, I hope the legacy of Hoop Squad will be remembered as a program that, you know, succeeded on the floor, but also was known for how things were done in terms of being good students in the classroom and being good young ladies. We racked up some wins, and again, that's all. That's not, you know, solely on my shoulders. It's on the kids who've come through our program, the parents who have supported us, you know, the district that has given us all the tools that we've needed to be successful. But I'm hoping that it will go down in history as one of the most storied programs with teams that have been able to compete and they go hard and they give it the best that they possibly can. The storybook ending would be, if there has to be an ending, is being able to, you know, go on the 10-year anniversary of having won the first state championship and finishing it in the right way. Going out on top in the right manner, enjoying the season as we go along. So I'm hoping that that's the ending, and I know that my girls are hoping for it as well. And we just are going to try and make sure that we have fun along the way.
Wow, I didn't even think about it being the 10-year reunion of the championship. Like, I've had the pleasure of watching Southfield Lathrop since 2006, a few years before I actually started high school at Lathrop. So, like, I've seen so many rivalries that you all fought through, like whether it was meeting Renaissance in the playoffs 4 years straight, the Avondale rivalry, if you want to call it that, as well as recently even seeing Marion twice in the playoffs and that being a marquee matchup. Like, what is your favorite matchup, or what was your favorite you know, game where it's like, oh my God, this is gonna be a run in, but we're ready for it and I can't wait to get there?
Well, you know, clearly, yeah, you know a lot about some of the tough games that we've had down the line. So, you know, just knowing, having the knowledge of the history of the program is appreciated for sure for me. I think, you know, I don't know if it's really going to answer the question, but for me, the game that stands out is really not even the championship game, that not shorting that game at all in any way, you know, 10 years ago. But the game that's probably going to stand out to me is against a team that's not even, you know, that rivalry that we had. And that was when we played, you know, Granville in the semifinal game, you know, with a lot of odds against us, you know, with the size that we couldn't match up with DeHaan. And we did our best to, you know, contain her, and she still put up almost 40 on us. And, you know, just being in that position where, you know, we were down, and I had one of the smallest guards in the state. And, you know, looking around the Breslin and seeing all the red and white when the young lady Jerica Hughes knocked down the three, that tied the ball game for us. And then being able to, you know, finish it up and go into overtime and win that game, which propelled us to the state championship. If I coach, you know, this year or, you know, five more years down the line, that's probably going to be the most special moment for me, just because when everybody else kind of thought, you know, that story was going to end at that point, you know, smallest kid on the floor, you know, made the biggest difference for us. And it's just amazing to look around, as I looked around the Breslin, and just to see the reactions of people. I relive that every day as I walk into the gym. So that's a special moment for me.
I have a follow-up for that, that beautiful answer that you just gave. You speak of Delissa DeHaan, who was about 6'9". You know what? You know, great players like that. You've seen them in various shapes and forms, whether it be Amber Javison or Kaiser Gondrezza. What was the toughest individual player you had to coach against or coach for? You know, what was the toughest matchup? Like, oh man, I got to coach against this player.
Well, you know, because of the fact that we try to make very difficult schedules, we've played some amazing Michigan basketball players, and, you know, not even Michigan, you know, as of late with playing Toledo Rogers. We've played against some extremely good talent. I think, you know, DeHaan was probably our toughest challenge in terms of size, because, you know, I went 6'1", 6 feet, and that was as tall as I went. you know, and you no matter what you do, you can't combat that size. But you know, then when I think about it, there's a young lady from West Bloomfield, Samantha Mahoney, who was an amazing talent. Young lady was able to go in the post against us and also, you know, put it on the floor. And you know, she played for her mom, and it was really a special thing going on. When West Bloomfield has some really, really good teams, you know, he speaks of the Avondale program and, you know, Keisha Hines and, you know, the three kid. And so, you know, it's tough. It's tough. You know, Asia Boyd over at Renaissance, we've played against some very, very, you know, tough players, and, you know, that's all due respect to the great tradition and history that comes through the state of Michigan. And, you know, no matter what, we always have to match up, you know, Erica Davenport last year, Amber Jamison last year. We don't shy away from it, but I think it makes the kids better. But it just shows you the great pride that there is in Michigan for girls basketball players. So there have been some tough ones. But DeHaan was probably the toughest because you can go against speed, you can go against quickness, but no matter what, you're never going to make the girls taller in a basketball game. And she had that huge advantage that, you know, we just had to fight through as best we possibly could.
Darren, you got another question for Coach Marshall?
Definitely. Now, has any of your former players reached out about, like, your final season? Like, do you all have anything planned to honor the history of the program or anything like that?
Yeah, they have. As a matter of fact, if you're aware of the fact that our last homecoming football game took place over at Southfield Lathrop, and, you know, the numbers were amazing when everybody came out for homecoming. And, you know, I saw kids that played for me when I first started, you know, coaching at the school in 93 is when I first started. And, you know, I saw so many young ladies, and we spent a lot of time speaking about, you know, this season and trying to make it special. And so a lot of the kids are, you know, going to come, and young ladies now are going to come to watch the games. I think we'll see a lot of them at the last game that we'll play against Southfield High. You know, my point guard from that team, Jerica Hughes, you know, lives out of state, and she calls me regularly. You know, I've gotten a lot of kids who have been Facebooking or, you know, just messaging me. So they're gonna make their presence known. We have 8 home games, and they're going to come in numbers to our home games. And I think when we play Southfield High, we'll see a lot of those young ladies come out. But it's just still a testament, like I said, to the idea that there have been some tremendous young ladies come through the program, and they've shown us great love. And we'll see them in the stands, and I think it'll help my young ladies to understand how special this year can be, and just to understand the tradition of Hoop Squad as it does near, you know, what is the end of a terrific run for us.
In the 20-plus years that you've been, you know, in big coaching, what team do you, you know, strongly feel should have won a championship that did not win it?
Well, you know, we were loaded with a group of young ladies a few years ago that had Janessica Lawler, Ashley Franklin, Amber McCann. We had Kyra Littlejohn, Andrea Collins on the wing. And it was a game when we played out for Renaissance. We played Renaissance and Asia Boyd and I believe must have been maybe the regional final, maybe. I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And we you know, we were in great position to be able to win that game. And as luck would have it, you know, that last second shot gets us. And Diane Jones did a good job of setting that up. I thought that team had the size, it had the quickness, it had the speed, it had the outside shooters to be able to do it. And, you know, a lot of things about winning a state championship, you have to be lucky, you have to be good, you have to be disciplined. There are a lot of things that go along with it. And, you know, that was the one year where I thought, you get over that hump, you really have a great chance of winning it. And in a matter of maybe, you know, 3-4 seconds, the whole fate changed. And I thought that was a team that would have won a state championship.
All right, and one final question from one of your players, Deja Church. She wants to know what you're going to buy her for a birthday.
Which is on Saturday.
I'm going to buy her the opportunity to play in a scrimmage on Saturday. I'm going to give her some free playing time. And depending on how she does, we'll make a deal where, you know, it's not a bunch of people listening and I don't have to promise anything. You know, so I'll let Daisy Church know what I'm going to buy her tomorrow when I see her in school.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Coach, for coming on with us and spending a little time with us.
Oh, no problem. It's been my pleasure. I truly appreciate it. Appreciate the great things that you guys do in regards to covering girls basketball. Speaking as, you know, one of those ambassadors and growing up from being a 22-year-old coach to now, you know, well up in age, and I can say where I am now. But, you know, it's great to see young men who are really promoting it in the right way and doing, you know, great things for it. I know, you know, I appreciate it as the coach, my girls do, and so I'm really proud of you guys, and I just want you to just continue to do the things that you do. You're making it look very good for the state of Michigan, for sure.
Thank you so much, Coach. It's an honor. It's truly, truly an honor to have you on.
All right, I appreciate it. And you guys have a good night, and look forward to seeing you guys at our basketball games.
Yes, sir. Goodbye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, man. That was Coach Marshall on the line with us. Like I said, truly, truly a legend in the game of coaching. Like, wow. I'm almost lost for words. Like, even though I went to school, she was a teacher there. I saw her, like, all the time. Still feel like a fanboy almost, just a little bit, every time I talk to her, I see her. So, again, that was big having her on. Eric.
What's up, man?
We almost at the end of our show, man.
Man, it's been a great one. I mean, having, you know, me being, you know, a Lathrop graduate as well, you know, the year, you know, right after you, you know, having, you know, Coach Marshall on and reliving those moments that both of us saw in person every, you know, every day, day in and day out. I'm kind of like you, fanboying out a little bit, you know.
I'm not going to hold anybody up. Lathrop gets to the playoffs, deep in the playoffs. I'm no longer going to be an objective reporter. I'm going to be there with my Lathrop gear on, cheering on Hoop Squad. You can come back to this podcast and listen to it and tell me I'm biased. Anything past the regional finals, I'm gonna paint my face red.
Oh my God, man! You turned into Zach Lowe on me, man.
Yeah, but it's always interesting. We heard Coach Marshall say that she was gonna get Deja Church some playing time on Saturday. Obviously, the Michigan Mega Scrimmage is coming up on Saturday as we wind down on our podcast. So who are you most anticipating seeing on Saturday? It's a lot of new-look teams.
Yeah, a lot of new-look teams. Haven't seen the full schedule yet, so I will have to admit that. But obviously, I want to see Auburn Prep. I'm curious to see them. You know, they lost a couple kids to graduation. So I really want to see how they look right now. I mean, Adrian Anderson has made a name for herself since, you know, the latter part of the season last year and during the summer, playing for the Michigan Storm, has, you know, created a little buzz for herself, created a little name for herself. So I'm curious to see, you know, what she brings to the table along with Nastasia Chambers, who recently signed to Wayne State, so I really wanted to see what they come with this time this year.
All right, now for me, I'm most interested in seeing Grand Rapids Catholic Central. I got to see them a couple of times last year. They're long, they can handle the ball, can score, but they defend so well. I want to see how they look again this year. Obviously, me and you are both excited about seeing Wayne Memorial as we made some very bold predictions earlier in this podcast. And people are going to drag us on Twitter, man.
God.
But like I said, LBI, they're putting on a great event on this Saturday. I'm just going to call it right now. When we do our top 10 teams podcast, I don't know if that's going to be next week or the week after. I'm putting Southfield Lathrop number one. Just going to call it right now so nobody can wonder. It won't be any buzz about who the number one team will be. And I'm excited about seeing them on Saturday as well.
And you talk about me making bold predictions. That one, I was very emphatic about that one, man.
It's not a bold prediction. I mean, like I said, this is arguably the most talented team. You just heard it from Coach Marshall herself. She said this is one of the most talented teams she's ever had. And she compared it to a state championship winning team. So that draws me to the conclusion, like I said, I think they're going to be the best team in the state. And I'm excited about seeing them on Saturday. I just might fish out my Southfield Lather wrestling hoodie and sweatpants and wear it to cover games on Saturday.
Man, wow, man. That's love, man. I'm going to say that right now, man. That's love, man. Look, I'm not making any predictions. I'm not going to reveal what I'm putting as my number one or two or even 10. Y'all will have to wait. Y'all have to wait for what I got to say.
But, man, all right, we wind it down. I just want to thank everybody who called in, everybody who listened live to our live recording of our podcast. We're going to holler at y'all next week. Hope y'all enjoy Empire and all of that.
Oh, peace and love to everybody, man.
Positive energy. Peace.